welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Deng Bior. This program is recorded via remote. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, April 10th, 2020. A fourth COVID-19 case is confirmed in South Sudan.
There has been a lot of talk around.
There have been a lot of talks around these issues. So we have decided to conceal all that information because we found that it is stigmatizing.
And President Kiir warns against online hate speech about foreigners in South Sudan.
I must warn you that COVID-19 can be brought into South Sudan by anybody, including South Sudanese. I therefore call upon you to exercise restraint and avoid hate speeches and xenophobic utterances.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan has confirmed its fourth case of coronavirus. Dr. Angok Gordon Kwol, incident manager of the COVID-19 team at the South Sudan Ministry of Health, says the fourth case, confirmed last night, was in contact with the first confirmed case. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Dr. Angok Gordon Kwol told the South Sudan in Focus the COVID-19 team decided not to disclose the person's age, gender, or place of work because of the stigmatization surrounding people with the virus in South Sudan.
There has been a lot of talk around.
There have been a lot of talks around these issues. So we have decided to conceal all that information because we found that it is stigmatizing. People talk of where you work, where you reside, and that has caused a lot of problems. So we have decided just to give the number of people affected, and that is all.
Dr. Kwol confirmed the latest case is a person who was in contact with the first confirmed case in the country, a 29-year-old UN staffer who entered South Sudan in late February from the Netherlands through Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Dr. Kwol says the team has identified 52 contacts linked to the first case, while 29 blood samples have been collected to test for coronavirus. He says the team is still struggling to collect samples of the remaining contacts.
Some, when they are told their contacts, they are irritated. And it needs some psychological intervention so that at least when it comes to collecting their samples, they are convinced because some of them are refusing.
Dr. Kwol says the team has established 9 contacts linked to the second case. Healthy workers are working to establish more contacts linked to all of the confirmed cases. Nationwide, Kwol says the team conducted 70 tests. Kwol says it is important for the South Sudanese public to understand that coronavirus is in the country, and if people were reluctant to undertake preventive measures in the past, they do it now.
Those who are still not applying.
Those who are still not applying the basic rules or keeping yourself protected against the coronavirus is that we have now a serious situation in the country, and the only way is to protect yourself and your family.
On Thursday, President Salva Kiir announced the third confirmed case in the country, a 28-year-old UN staffer in Juba who had made contact with the first case. Kiir urged the public to wash their hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home to combat the spread of the virus. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
President Salva Kiir has warned South Sudanese against using hate speech or making xenophobic remarks against UN staff and other foreigners in the country. Since the government confirmed the country's first COVID-19 case last weekend, negative comments on social media about foreigners in South Sudan has been on the rise. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
Caroline Wanjui, a Kenyan businesswoman in Juba, says she's frightened by several posts she has seen on social media blaming foreigners for the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic to South Sudan.
We are feeling badly because when they started like that, It's like we are not safe. I'm not worrying about my business or what else, but I'm worrying about my life.
Tyson Otieno, a Kenyan barber in Juba, says he is surprised that COVID-19 is dividing the world instead of uniting it. He says the different foreign communities living in South Sudan are exposed to the same risk of contracting coronavirus as the nationals.
COVID is here with us to stay, and we should not have any negativity. We should not have any divisibility between us. It unites us. It affects you. It affects me. It doesn't mind whether you're white, you're black, whether you are from whatever country. It affects all the human race.
Speaking to South Sudan in Focus on Thursday, Army's Chief David Shearer said he worries about the negative comments he has seen on social media about foreigners in South Sudan.
Pretty harsh comments. And in a situation like this, anybody can get coronavirus. My real worry is to protect the people who have been contracting the virus, because they didn't do anything wrong. It's just simply like catching a cold. I mean, they didn't do anything deliberately or on purpose.
Addressing the nation on state television Thursday to announce the country's third coronavirus case, President Salva Kiir warned citizens against making racist comments on social media about foreigners.
I must warn you that COVID-19 can be brought into South Sudan by anybody, including South Sudanese. I therefore call upon you to exercise restraint and avoid hate speeches and xenophobic utterances against our guests and those who have come to provide services to us from different countries and organizations.
Earlier this week, Dr. Makur Koryom, the Undersecretary in South Sudan's Health Ministry, told reporters at news conference that the country's high-level task force on COVID-19 will not tolerate anti-UN comments or xenophobic attacks of any form on foreigners residing or working in the country.
Targeting individuals of particular countries on the basis or on the assumption that COVID-19 is their disease is unacceptable, and the government will not tolerate to punish those who engage in such activities.
The UN mission in South Sudan said on April 4th that South Sudan's first coronavirus case was a 29-year-old female UN staffer who entered South Sudan on February 28th from the Netherlands through Addis Ababa. Shearer says there is a high possibility that the first COVID-19 patient contracted the virus inside South Sudan, given the 5 weeks incubation period it took to present the signs and symptoms of coronavirus.
Who contracted the virus almost certainly contracted it inside of Juba, because she was had been here for a long time. So we're trying to work out where she got it from, and we're also tracking and tracing through all of the people she may have had contact with, so that we can put them in isolation and try and control and contain any issues.
Shearer says the UN has imposed strict measures to protect other patients from the threat and to prevent spreading the virus among staff.
We've frozen all travel of staff into the country, and anybody who came in a couple of weeks ago has gone into compulsory quarantine for 14 days. We've drastically reduced our numbers in our offices so that people are working from home in their home accommodation, so we're limiting the contact between people.
Shearer says Unimis has also reduced internal flights to minimize the risking of passing on the virus in various states. South Sudan has confirmed 3 COVID-19 cases in Juba and Torit. The government says it is tracing people who came into contact with the 3 patients so they can be tested for the virus. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
South Sudan's Drug and Food Control Authority launched a campaign Thursday to crack down on fake hand sanitizers being sold in Juba. Uganda's drug authority notified South Sudan that more than 10 brands of hand sanitizers produced in Uganda, Kenya, and Turkey were tested and found to be defective. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
With the coronavirus pandemic and the increased demand for hand sanitizers, some manufacturers are taking advantage of the situation by producing fake sanitizers, according to Maiwen Atem Maiwen, Secretary General for the Drug and Food Control Authority. Maiwen says the fake brands of hand sanitizers manufactured in Uganda include Kelen Star manufactured by the Kampala Toner Star Products, Aros by Sink Pharmacy, Safe Hands by Icon Medical Limited, Ses Hand Sanitizers by Ses Pharmacy Department, Nisi by Abia Group Limited, and Rio by House of Rehobos. He says too, other fake hand sanitizers with no listed manufacturer are instant bug-free and one step. Mawin says they identified 13 fake hand sanitizers being sold in Juba failed to meet pharmaceutical manufacturing standards like pH, which is alkalinity, labeling, and alcohol content.
It was found that these products are also within South Sudan. And they were entered here without documentation. I mean to say that every drug or every chemical or whatever is being used that enters into South Sudan must have a document that it is authorized to get into South Sudan by the South Sudan Drug and Food Control Authority. So once those things are not there, any products of that kind is not eligible for use here. So it was found that some people have sold these things to the pharmacies, whatever it is. So we are going to carry out what we call announced inspection.
Mawen says fake sanitizers smuggled into South Sudan will be confiscated by authorities. He says importers must ensure they buy genuine products from non-manufacturers.
They have been proven by those who are doing it that they are of no use. So it's only those who got them in the right channel that might get compensated by the manufacturer. But anybody who does not have any documentation from the Drug and Food Control Authority or from there where they bought them, they will have to lose.
Mawen says substandard sanitizers will not protect the public against the coronavirus. The pandemic has prompted a shortage in real hand sanitizers sold in markets and stores. Mawen says the Food and Drug Authority has received at least 5 applications from local companies who say they can produce about 2,000 hand sanitizers a day and will be cheaper than other brands.
We have given out the guidelines to those who are interested to do this and have been licensed to do it. So maybe within 2 or 3 days we will have a good number of these hand sanitizers, and there may be enough.
In the meantime, Mawens is encouraging the public to wash their hands with soap for 20 seconds. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. 4 Ugandan officials are arrested in connection with COVID-19. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person, to give the person a breathing space just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Four top Ugandan government officials were arrested Thursday following reports they inflated COVID-19 relief food prices. Analysts say the government's swift response shows the importance it has attached to the crisis. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
The defendants worked in the office of Prime Minister Ruhakana Rugunda and ran a program to provide food relief for the most vulnerable amid the coronavirus pandemic. They were arrested for causing government losses in excess of $528,000. On Thursday, the head of the anti-corruption unit in the State House, Lieutenant Colonel Edith Nakalima, said she received a directive from President Yoweri Museveni to investigate the way the program was being run.
We have some clear evidence of the well-known, able and credible suppliers who offered lower prices, and the accounting officers in OPM rejected and instead took on the higher ones. Some of the people who were given offers to supply are even not pre-qualified, and that's the president's concern.
Government officials arrested include Permanent Secretary Christine Guatudechintu and Accounting Officer Joel Wanjala, Assistant Procurement Commissioner Fred Lutimba, and Martin Owor, Head of COVID-19 Relief Management. They were taken into custody. Officials in the office of the Prime Minister are no strangers to corruption and embezzlement of both government and donor funds. Economic analyst Fred Mhumza notes that while the bad record continues, the president's swift move shows he has made addressing the situation a priority.
We knew this scandal would come out later on in the year. For it to happen now means there is some expedience in the president's office in dealing with corruption. Gone are the days when you just buy food and you think the price is not known by other people, which has been used as evidence. Because I imagine those days it would be a very secret process.
Uganda, which has 53 confirmed cases of COVID-19, is currently on a two-week lockdown to help curb the further spread of the infection caused by the coronavirus. The officials are being held by the Criminal Investigations Department. They will be charged with abuse of office through an arbitrary act prejudicial to the interest of their employer, causing financial loss and facilitating fraudulent accounting and conspiring to commit fraud. A conviction fetches at least 5 years in prison. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, warns the coronavirus pandemic is likely to widen existing inequalities around the world if left unchecked, with the poor, the disabled, the homeless, minorities, women, and elderly, among others most at risk. At a virtual meeting, the human rights chief also had stern criticism for governments that she says are using health emergency measures to justify repression and expand their powers. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet says civil and political rights are being threatened by governments that are abusing the emergency measures they are taking to respond to this public health crisis. She says an emergency situation is not a blank check to disregard human rights obligations.
I'm profoundly concerned by certain countries' adoption of emergency powers that are unlimited and not subject to review. In a few cases, the epidemic is being used to justify repressive changes to regular legislation, which will remain in force long after the emergency is over. I'm also concerned by steps taken to impose restrictions on media freedom and freedom of expression.
Bachelet says journalists, health workers, state officials, and ordinary people are being penalized for criticizing governments for doing a poor job in fighting the coronavirus. She says criticism is not a crime. She urges governments to increase access to accurate information, noting transparency can be life-saving in a health crisis. The High Commissioner says she is very concerned about the rise in hate speech, discrimination, and attacks against people blamed for the disease.
When an existential threat faces all of us, there is no place for nationalism or scapegoating, including of migrants and minority communities. There have been growing and unacceptable physical and verbal attacks on people of East Asia origin and members of other minorities, and action should be taken to combat this.
Bachelet says lockdowns cannot continue forever, and governments must be prepared with exit strategies that ensure societies and people recover in ways that safeguard both their economic and human rights. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights warns the pandemic is worsening inequality in the world, hitting women, the poor, the disabled, and others who are already vulnerable especially hard. The UN Rights Chief warns the most vulnerable members of society are at greatest threat of falling ill and dying because they lack access to health care. At the same time, Michelle Bachelet says they will suffer most from the extensive economic and social shocks created by the pandemic. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Amnesty International released its 2019 Human Rights in Africa report this week, showing sub-Saharan African countries continue to experience armed conflicts, widespread killings, sexual violence, and other human rights violations. An Amnesty official says despite South Sudan's signed 2018 peace deal, last year was marred by several serious human rights violations. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Washington.
Saif Magango, a spokesperson for Amnesty International based in Nairobi, Kenya, says those violations include numerous civilian killings and widespread sexual violence.
South Sudan remained in a state of conflict with the government of President Salva Kiir and his arch-rival Riek Machar, and as well as other opposition groups engaging in conflict and carrying out human rights violations. There were continued cases of sexual violence perpetrated by members of both sides.
The report says despite the release of at least 150 children from armed groups and the army throughout the year, rebel groups and government forces abducted children and recruited child soldiers in a bid to boost their numbers before the cantonment process got underway. Magango says the parties to the conflict also obstructed humanitarian aid agencies from carrying out their work, preventing them from reaching millions of civilians who were in dire need of help.
In 2019, millions of South Sudanese faced food insecurity. And there was a lack of medical care, and the situation really was so difficult, also exacerbated by floods and insecurity, which meant that people did not have a good harvest. And that, in essence, that they needed the help of organizations such as the World Food Program, WHO, and others that provide humanitarian aid. But what we saw clearly was obstruction of humanitarian aid by the authorities, and that put at least 6.9 million people at risk.
Magango says 2019 was also marred by civil rights abuses carried out by the national security forces, including freedom of speech and assembly.
Particularly excessive use of force in some cases, as well as arbitrary detention of people perceived to be opposition or people seen to have dissenting views. Peter Biar, Kerbino Wall, there were continued excesses by the National Security Service. It continued to wield a lot of power and to abuse it to arrest people and detain them arbitrarily.
Dong Samuel Luak and Agri Esbon Idri were two high-profile South Sudanese activists kidnapped from Kenya and flown to South Sudan, where they were detained at the National Security Headquarters known as the Blue House. A UN panel of experts reported it was highly probable the two men were later executed in Juba. The South Sudan government has denied any involvement in their disappearance or deaths. In July 2019, human rights lawyers sued the Kenyan and South Sudanese governments in the East Africa Court of Justice for the enforced disappearance and extrajudicial killings of the two men. Also in 2019, the U.S. government imposed sanctions against five people believed to have played a role in the deaths of the two men. Magango says numerous human rights violations against women and children were also committed throughout the year.
You had, for instance, about 194 incidents of grave violations against children by armed groups. We also had acts of sexual violence committed by all parties to the conflict, involving at least 93 incidents of sexual violence against women, men, girls, and boys between December 18 and November 2019. All of this, what really is to be noted is that still no accountability has been done.
The government agreed years ago to create a hybrid court for atrocities committed in South Sudan, but Magango says the Kiir administration has dragged its feet on forming the court. He says the government must address human rights violations committed in the country during and after the conflict by amending the National Security Act to reduce its powers and finally set up the hybrid court. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Some Sudanese in the capital Khartoum say the transitional government's reforms are not happening fast enough. This week marks the one-year anniversary of the Sudanese revolution. Some residents of Khartoum say human rights abusers have not been brought to justice, and the government is taking too long to improve the economy and restore lasting peace. Michael Atut reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Former President Omar al-Bashir was ousted by the military on April 11th after ruling Sudan for 3 decades. Many Sudanese who took part in demands of mass protests across the country last year celebrated for days. But are they still happy today? Izzeddin Khalifa Hussein, a resident of Khartoum's Mazat neighborhood, says even though Bashir is no longer in power, the former president's operatives are still strong in their communities and try to make life difficult for others. Speaking in Arabic, Khalifa says, nothing from the theme of the revolution, freedom, justice, and peace, has been achieved so far.
Up to now, nothing has been done to compensate the victims. The economic situation has gone to the worst, more than before. I can conclude and say the expenses have increased to more than 1,000% compared to the last year. In addition, the retired employees have not received their pension up to now.
Osman Abubakar Osman, a resident of Khartoum's Mayo neighborhood who hails from the Darfur region, says he does not regret the military overthrowing Bashir. Speaking in Arabic, Abubakar called on the government to expedite transitional justice so that those who lost their loved ones can feel at least a little bit of comfort.
We're still missing a lot of people since that day. We are still facing problems with the issue of fair distribution of power and resources. There are states that are still experiencing a lot of intimidation from the elements of previous regime. Not much freedom space has been provided.
Amal Juma works as a nurse at the hospital in Khartoum. She says she sees no change in the cost of living and believes things have actually gotten worse. Speaking in Arabic, Juma says people are still queuing for bread and everything in the market is now expensive. Juma says, we have to say the truth. Up to now, she says, we are still unable to get buses, we are still queuing for bread, and there are people who are benefiting from this situation. She says, we are not seeing any one of them being held accountable for this. Khartoum bus driver Abdulaziz Ahmed says Sudanese still find it difficult to get a fuel at a petrol station. Speaking in Arabic, he says a liter of petrol which cost 18 Sudanese pounds a year ago now costs nearly 100 pounds.
The situation has even worsened compared to before. Today they only sell commercial fuel in the market. I think by the next year I cannot use my car as van for less than 3,000 pounds in one.
Both Juma and Ahmed say, despite the current situation, they are happy that Bashir is no longer in power. They are urging the transitional government to continue subsidizing basic commodities such as fuel, flour, and sugar. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
And that's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Anamesh Bata El Kalamda by Shireen. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Thanks for listening. And remember to wash your hands with soap frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.